Okay, excuse me, Cincinnati.
Praise the Lord.
Just making sure that we're on the air. And I'm Mike, and I'm here with Oscar. And I haven't been here for so long, I don't know exactly what I'm doing. So, Oscar, I'm going to rely on you a little bit more today to kind of get me through this again and re-educate me.
Okay.
I need to be re-educated. Yeah. We all
need education, that's for sure.
You know, we're going to get re-educated in the Lord today.
Amen.
You know, and that's the most important thing. We need to remember who's in charge here.
And you're listening to Kingdom Builders this morning, and we hope that you're all doing well, and we love you, and you're in our prayers, and we've got a great topic today, and the topic today is literally that God is our source. Okay, and we're going to talk a little bit out of Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And I think if you'll listen to what this says, and I'm going to tell you a few little stories here, I think that this will minister to your hearts. And it says, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life." And you know, a lot of people are worrying about their life today. There's a lot of worry going on out there. It says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they are? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And this is Jesus talking. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble." You know, Mike, I heard this preacher tell this story a few years ago. And, you know, he was an evangelist, and he counted on people donating to his ministry. That was his source of making a living. And he lived out in the country, and I could really kind of identify with what he was saying where he lived, because it sounded just like my uncle's farm. Exactly. And I used to spend summers out in Claremont County, and I used to spend summers out there a lot of times for a couple weeks in the summer. And he said that he was in his prayer closet, and you know, he was praying, and they had kind of run out of finances, and they didn't have no finances. And he said he went in his prayer closet, and he was praying, and he said there was one particular brother that used to send money to him almost any time he needed money. If he'd pray about it, God would have this brother send him some money. And he said that he was in there praying, and he said, "Oh, Lord, have brother so-and-so send me some money." And he said, you know, after he got done praying, he said he had to go into town. He had one of those mailbox, you know, things that they have, you know, at the post office. And he said he went into his post office mailbox, and he said he was on his way going down there. And he said he described as he went down there. He said, "I went down this old gravelly lane, you know," and he said, "I turned left past the apple orchard, and I went over another lane and went up over the railroad tracks and got all the way out toward the road." And he said, "While I was doing that," he said, "I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, 'Son, I'm going to teach you something, and I don't want you to ever forget.'" And he said, "I thought, okay, Lord, what's that?" And he said, he said when he got out to the highway, get ready to turn onto the highway, said, the Lord said, now just sit here and watch. And he said, I said, okay, Lord. And he said, I looked, and he said, I didn't see anything. And he said, well, Lord, I don't see anything. And he said he felt like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, just watch. And he said, in a couple minutes, he saw his old tractor coming down the road, just trucking on down the road slow. You see that when you get out in the country sometimes, especially used to years ago, more than you do now. And he said, Lord, I still don't see anything. And the tractor went past him, and he was hauling on a big bed of, you know, that he was pulling on a trailer, a bunch of corn. And the corn fell off. A couple ears of corn fell off. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I still don't see anything. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, this big old Cadillac come rolling down the road and hit them ears of corn and scattered the seed all over the highway. And he said, then in a couple minutes, he said, Lord, I still don't see anything. And he said, and the Lord said, just watch. And he said, in a couple minutes, all the birds just flew in and landed on the highway and started eating up the kernels of corn, you know. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, son, you see how I love the birds? He said, I'm your source, not brother so-and-so. And I want you to know out there today, I know there's a lot of people who are having problems with their finances because they're out of work and a lot of things are going on right now. God is your source. And he said, I drove on into town, and I went to the mailbox. And he said, when I got in there to the mailbox, he said, I opened it up. And he said, there was some money in there. Somebody had sent me some money, but it wasn't from brother so-and-so. And he said, you know, God showed me I'm your source. I'll lay it on somebody's heart to help you or whatever you need. And you know, it's just like it says here, you know, he loves the birds. And if he loves the birds and he feeds them, how much more does he love you and me? And, you know, when he talked about the lilies here, you know, about the beauty of the lilies and how they were arrayed, and yet Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. You know, I'll tell you another little story real quick, and then I'll give Mike a chance to say some things. But, you know, this sister, she was a Christian lady, and this big conglomerate had bought up all of these houses to build a big old shopping center. And she was the last one standing, you know. And she really didn't want to sell her house, but they made her an offer that was just too good to refuse, you know. And she said, finally, she sold her house. And she had really pretty flower beds, you know, that were around her house. You know, she was a very good gardener and stuff. She had really pretty flower beds around her house. And she said, after that shopping center got built one time, she drove by to see how it was. And she said she drove into the shopping center, and she drove over to where her garden was. And she said she looked over there, and one of her lilies had pushed up through that blacktop and was sticking up in the air and was just a beautiful flower. And she wrote a song, and the song was, oh, I marvel at the wisdom of my God when I see that little lily pushing up that heavy clod. Oh, I marvel at the wisdom of my God. And, you know, God was showing her that even in this, when something is totally overcovered and you'd think it was totally dead, that I still can bring forth life, even out of the midst of something that where there should be no life. And you know, she wrote a beautiful gospel song about trusting in God and how that he is our life. And she even quoted this scripture, if God so clothed the lilies of the field, you know, and they were clothed greater than Solomon. And Solomon, in the days of Solomon, you know, we have some wealthy people today in the world, you know. We have a president who's supposed to be a really wealthy man. And, you know, Solomon in his day, he was so wealthy. Not only was he the most intelligent person around at that time, had wisdom of God, but also around Jerusalem, they had dumps, and they had gold and silver and precious metals in these dumps because they had so much treasure. And a lot of that treasure had came from King David, as when David was king, you know. And they had all of this treasure so that they could build the temple of God, you know. And Solomon built the temple of God back then instead of David. But the thing about it is that, you know, even the scripture here that says that Solomon in all of his glory, being that wealthy, and you know he probably had the finest robes, the finest jewels, the finest everything, was not arrayed like one of these beautiful lilies. And you go out into the open fields out in the country in the summertime, and you just look at the fields, if they're not plowing them or they haven't done anything to them, and the beautiful wildflowers are just all over there, and they're more beautiful than the flowers that you try to plant a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll grow when the flowers that you're trying to grow won't grow. Because you know what? God's just showing you, this is my earth, and he's showing you I'm in control of all this, and he's showing you I bring forth this beauty in the springtime and everything. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what your need is today, God is your source. And if you will trust in him and you will look to him and everything, then, brother, he will meet you on every turn. And I'm going to tell you, you might say, well, yeah, but you don't know how bad my situation is. I'm going to tell you, he will meet you. I'll tell you one more story, and then I'm going to turn this over to Mike for a little bit so he can talk. We had a sister that went to our church for years, and some of you out there might know her. Her name was Lily Caraway. And when she was old, I mean, she was way up in her 60s or 70s, she felt like the Lord told her to go to Africa. And she said she didn't really know where she was supposed to go in Africa. She said she just felt like God told her to go to Africa. And she said, I said to the Lord, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with the stuff I've got? And he said, sell it and give it away. You know, just get rid of it. And at an advanced age, she went to Africa. And when she went over there, she started a mission house over there. And they taught abstinence to the African people. And she would delve out food and give things to people when they needed it. And Lily used to come to our church about once a year because we were helping support her financially, because we just loved, I love Sister Lily. She was just a wonderful sister in the Lord. And anyway, she said that they had gotten down to the point where they only had like about one can of food in their cupboard, you know. And I mean, when you get down to where you only got one can of food, that's pretty low, you know. And she said somebody came by and said, I need some food. And I believe she said she might have needed them to feed it for her kids or something. And she said, well, I'll give you what I got. And she gave her that one can of food that she had. And you know, the next day, some person showed up and said, I got a bunch of groceries that God told me to bring you and give to you. And her cupboard was full the next day. And I'm going to tell you what, God is your source. He's your ever present help in time of need. If you'll trust him, if you'll look to him, if you'll trust him, he will never fail you. We have a sign up in the front of our church that says Jesus never fails. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been a Christian for 50 something years, and he never has ever failed me. And he's always met me continuously when I've been in work or out of work or whatever. And I've you know, there, David said, once I was young, but now I'm old. He said, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll look to God in whatever situation you're in, he will meet your need. But we're going to talk about some other things in a few minutes here when Mike talks about what he wants to. I want to talk to you about seizing opportunity, okay? And you can go ahead, Mike, if you've got anything you want to say, brother.
And I've got an application Bible here,
uh-huh.
Life application Bible, and a footnote on 625. When you first started reading, I kind of, you know, we're talking about relying on the Lord. It says, because of the ill effects of worry, Jesus tells us not to worry about those needs
right.
that God promises to supply. Worry may, number one, damage your health. Two, cause the object of your worry to consume your thoughts.
Right.
Three, disrupt your productivity. And four, negatively affect the way you treat others. And five, reduce your ability to trust in God. How many ill effects of worry are you experiencing? Here's the difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes, but concern moves you to action.
Yes, amen.
You know, like you were telling stories, you know, Oscar, you know, I was a car salesman for 25 years almost. And that's a straight commission job. So,
right.
you know, you don't sell, you don't eat.
Yep.
And there were numerous times where I'd be 3 weeks into a month and I had no commissions.
right. Yeah. That's right. Sometimes that happens.
And I'd be going, oh, you know, and I'd be telling my wife, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Right.
What are we going to do? And I was letting just what this is saying. I was worrying and I was letting it consume me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you there was never a time that in that last week of the month, God didn't supply everything that I needed.
And sometimes didn't that even happen before you had committed your life to the Lord?
Oh, absolutely.
See, that's the thing, see. You know, absolutely. God loved you and had his hand on you before you had your hand
absolutely.
On him.
Yeah, that was going to be my next comment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he always supplied what I needed.
Yeah, amen.
You know, it may not have been a whole bunch more than I needed.
Right.
But it was exactly what I needed.
That's right.
And I like what it says here. Concern moves you to action.
Right.
You know, when you're concerned about something, you try and find solutions.
Yeah.
So you go back to what you know.
And right.
If you know that God is going to supply your needs,
right.
You go back to God.
That's right. That's where you should go initially, really.
Go initially.
That's right.
But like it says here, right. Worry disrupts everything.
That's
in your
right.
life.
That's right.
It disrupts your thoughts. It disrupts your productivity. It negatively how you treat others
absolutely.
And even yourself.
Right.
You know, and it causes you to be, I'll just say it. It causes you to really be out of control.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, and if we believe God's in control, like I do, believe God's in control of everything in my life, and he has a plan for me, then, you know, all I have to do is turn back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all need to do. We need to
right.
turn back to the Lord.
Amen.
Because he just like you read the scripture, Oscar.
Right.
It's promises right there.
Amen.
That he's going to supply everything that you need.
Right.
Like I said, it may not be, you know, a new car or something, you know, but
right.
it's going to be something. You
right.
know? Yeah, I've just seen it so many times in my own life.
Right.
Oscar.
I have too.
That I can't deny that this scripture is exactly what it says it is.
Amen.
It's true.
That's right. It is. Praise the Lord. You know, I've got another little thing here I want to read you. It says, "Oh, my child, rest in me."
Okay.
Okay. You gotta push the phone thing over there.
Push the phone thing up over there. Where's that phone?
Hello? Hello.
Hi, you're on Kingdom Building.
What I was starting to read there, Mike, is it says, "Oh, my child, rest in me. yes, quietly settle down in my care, as birds settle in the nest, for I am watching over you, and in love I will care for you. There is no danger which I am not able to cope. There is no enemy. Wait a minute, let me go back. I lost my place. There's no danger which I'm not able to cope. There's no enemy too formidable for me to handle. I'm able to carry you out, carry out all my purposes, and to keep you at the same time. Be not afraid, neither allow terror to strike your heart. My power is at your disposal. My presence stands around you. There's nothing can harm you as long as you're in my care. And that is forever. I love that. And I think if we learn to rest in the Lord, you know, and the way that you rest in him is that you begin to trust him and you begin to tell him that you trust him, you know. And I got something else here I want to read too. And this is called Seize Each Opportunity. It says, behold the lilies of the field, and as the grass, so is your life, is so but for a season. Yes, you flourish in health, yet your time is short. You have no sure promise of tomorrow. Therefore, live each day as though it were your last. Seize each opportunity, knowing that it may be the last. For it is certainly true that no situation presents itself twice the same. The opportunity of today are not those of tomorrow. Do not live as though they might be repeated. Do not fail to enter every door, open door, or to be held back by feelings of unreadiness. I myself am your preparation, and that's speaking like it's God. I will give you the needed grace and wisdom for each moment as it comes, and you will rejoice in the victory, for I will overcome timidity, and I myself will displace inadequacy. You know, his strength is made perfect in weakness, the word declares. This is my work. I will do it myself through you if you allow yourself to be a channel of and for the flow of my spirit. For I myself am the life. I myself am your wisdom and your strength. Even as I am your joy and your peace, I am your victory. My word is power because my word is the spirit of truth. Do not bear needless burdens. How many times do we carry around needless burdens, you know? We try to carry it, but it's too heavy sometimes. They will only press upon your spirit and interfere with my movings. Much remains to be accomplished. Linger not over what appears to be unfinished case. Pass on through. In this way, your mind shall be kept free and your path open, and it shall always be a new way. Keep moving always from life to life. I will accomplish my purpose, and know that as I work, all things work together, so that there is a gathering of strength, and there shall be a glorious consummation. Praise God. You know, it says all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know, that doesn't mean that all things are going to be good. It just means at that time they might seem to be a bad thing. But if you're trusting in the Lord, what seems to be good, you know, is wonderful. But what seems to be bad, you say, oh, my goodness. But I'm going to tell you what, he'll turn that what seems to be bad into something good. I'll tell you another story. This is story day today. There's a story of an old wise man. He was an old Chinese wise man. He's very, very wise. He had a grandson. They lived on a farm. He had one horse. He sent his grandson out to water the horse. He said, grandson, go out and water the horse and give him some feed. Grandson went out and watered the horse. He forgot to latch the gate. The horse got out of the pen and ran off. The people of the town, they were very superstitious. They gathered around and they said, oh, this is bad luck. This is bad luck. And the wise old Chinaman said, "How do you know?" That's all he would say. Well, there was kind of a drought in the land, and that horse went and got with a herd of horses. And they were all looking for water and couldn't find it. And he remembered, that horse remembered, that there was water down there in that pen. So he started heading down toward that pen, and all the other horses followed him. And the gate was open, and they all ran in and started drinking the water. And the wise old Chinaman told his grandson, "Hurry up, go out, close the gate, close the gate." He ran out and closed the gate. All of the people around the town gathered around. "Oh, this is good luck. This is good luck." And the wise old Chinaman would just say, "How do you know?" Because he didn't judge it as to whether it was good or bad. And then a warlord came through that part of the country, and he got all of the young men to go out. He was going to take them all out. Well, the wise old Chinaman's grandson had went out and tried to break one of the horses so that he could sell it. And it had bucked him off and had broke his arm. And the people had gathered around and said, "Oh, this is bad luck. This is bad luck." Well, when the warlords got to his farm, they saw that that boy had a broken arm, because they would have taken him off to fight in the battle. And because he had the broken arm, he didn't have to go. Well, what seemed to be bad luck turned into good luck. What seemed to be good luck turned into bad luck. What seemed to be bad luck turned into good luck. So what does that tell us? That tells us that you can't judge things by what's happening right at the moment. You have to just stand back and trust that God's in control, and know that, you know, we're not to judge between good and evil, you know. If we eat of that tree of good and evil, then we're going to miss God in a lot of situations, because all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I just want to tell you that no matter what's going on in your life right now, if you will but trust the Lord and you will give him praise in the midst of whatever's happening, not for what's happening, but in spite of what's happening sometimes, because sometimes it might seem to be something bad. But if you'll start praising the Lord, you'll find out that he inhabits the praises of his saints, and that a lot of times what seemed to be bad will turn into something beautiful, you know. Praise God.
Okay, we need to do a quick thing on the member-thon here. We are in the middle of the fall member-thon, and listener-supported WAIF needs your help. A $25 donation makes you a member and gives you voting rights at the WAIF annual meeting, and you will receive the newsletter. And a pledge of $150 will be placed on engraved. You will place an engraved brick in the plaza in front of the studios. Help us pave the way for WAIF, and you can do that by calling 513-961-8900 or 513-749-1444 right now. Or if you would like to go online, go to the website at www.waif883.org and hit the donation button, and you can do it by credit card or PayPal, which is probably the safest way to make a pledge. And we need your help right now, Cincinnati.
Yes.
To stay on the air. We've been on the air since, I think, 1976, and it's not cheap to keep a radio station running. And so we need your help.
Yeah, and this is a nonprofit radio program, and you know, we need donations to this particular show, Kingdom Builders, because that's what determines whether we stay on the air or not. And we just want you all to know that if this blesses you and you get ministered to through this word that we share on Wednesdays, then you know, we ask you to pray about it. And if you feel like you're supposed to give a donation, and send in a donation, and maybe you could give information on the where they would mail it to, or how to do it. Mike, you got anything over there that tells you?
I don't have the address here.
Okay.
I know it's on East McMillan, and I'd have to look at it.
Yeah.
But you can find it online. the address of the station.
Yeah.
And if you do decide to make a pledge and to support Kingdom Building,
yeah,
make sure you note it either on your check or however you do it.
Yeah.
Because that way it gets credited to our show.
Yeah.
And we have to have a minimum amount of pledges to stay on the air.
That's right. Praise
and
God.
I'm going to say, caller, I apologize for not getting your call, but if you want to call back, we'll try and get you on the air.
Yeah, amen.
You know, Oscar, this is a very interesting topic for these times. You know, like we started to show off, you know,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of people with a lot of worries and a lot of concerns.
Yes,
right,
there
now
is. Absolutely.
Because of work, and, you know, work issues and health issues and information floating around.
Right, right.
You know, we just have so many things that are pulling at our senses right now.
Right.
That, you know, it's hard to disseminate, you know, what's going on, you know. And it's easy to let all these things that the world is throwing at you right now to take over your life.
Right.
And that's why I believe this is a really important topic today, because as you and I have said before, and we've said it in the show today, you know, God is our source.
That's right.
And, you know, he is a person, the one that we need to rely on.
Right.
Not the news, not the...
That's right.
Not the government.
Right.
Not the, you know, if we're relying on the Lord and trusting that he's got us.
Like, right.
Rich did that sermon a year back.
Yeah.
And said, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord's got you. And he's got
right.
you right in the palm of his hands.
That's
he's
right.
He's got you right where you need to be.
Right.
And you may be fighting it right now, because that's just natural.
Yeah.
But you know something? Trust in the Lord.
Right.
Because if he's got you in the palm of his hands, there's nothing that can touch you.
Yes.
That can take you out of his care.
That's right.
And, you know, just rely on the Lord. That's all I can say today. It's just, let's rely on the Lord today. And let's
yeah.
really, really get back into that. You know, maybe this is a time when this is what the Lord's trying to tell the people. You know?
Right.
Hey, don't worry about all the other stuff. Come to me.
Yeah.
Maybe he's drawing us back. You know, did you ever think of that? I'm sure there are plenty of Christians who listen
right.
on this show, and yet so many other shows that are on this station that are just struggling like crazy with what to do.
Right.
And, you know, and there's only really one thing to do.
Yeah.
And that's rely on him.
That's right. You know, Scripture says, trust in the Lord, lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And, you know, if God's directing your path, you're going to be on the right path. You know what I mean? And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's very simple. There's no formula. There's no certain thing that you got to do other than just ask the Lord to come into your life and become your Lord and Savior. He already is your Lord and Savior, but you're just acknowledging him as that. And you know, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved. That's what amounts out to. You enter into that relationship. And you know, I'm going to go back and share that scripture that I shared before out of Matthew, but I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. And I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. And it says, and after I just told you that it's very easy to give your life to the Lord, it's very simple. It's just acknowledge, ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. That's all you got to do. And in Matthew 25 through 34, and this is a Message Bible, it says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes. How many times have you ever found yourself, oh, I don't like that. Don't fuss at what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion, for it is far more to your life than food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than clothes you hang on your body. Look to the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless, in the care of God, and you count far more to him than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of a mirror, ever gotten any taller by so much as an inch? You know, Mark was funny, my son, when he was a little boy. Mark has small hands and small, well, he don't have small hands, he has small feet. He has big hands. But when he was a little boy, he had little feet, you know, like, and you know, and a lot of times, you know, when you see a dog or something, if they got big paws, you'll say, boy, that's going to be a big dog, you know. Well, Mark had little feet, you know, and he used to go to his mom and he'd say, Mom, he said, do you think I'll be very tall as Dad? And she said, well, I don't know, Mark. She'd say, pray real hard. Well, he's got little feet, but he's about 6'1", and he's about an inch taller or two than me, you know, and he's got huge hands. His hands took up for what his feet didn't get, you know. But you know, we can't, by fussing and by carrying on, you know, we can't make ourselves 1 inch taller than what we're going to be, you know. And really, when we find ourselves struggling and we find ourselves fretting and carrying on, and we talked about fretting a couple weeks ago in here, but when we find ourselves doing that stuff, all we really do is allow ourselves to get upset, and it begins to beat us down, and actually it's a negative thing, it's not a positive thing, you know. And this verse 27, has anyone by fussing in front of a mirror even gotten taller so much as by an inch? All of this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think that it makes you that much difference? Look, instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the field and look at the wildflowers. They never primp nor shop. It says, but have you ever seen color and design quite like this? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. It says, if God gives so much attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think that he'll attend to you and take pride in you and do best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God, the way he works, fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your lives in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all that your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Wow. And you know what? I can testify to that. That's happened in my life many, many times. You know, when I was younger one time, we lived in this house and we were renting it, and I was the only one working. And, you know, I had a motorcycle then, and I had loaned my motorcycle to my brother-in-law. And we had just played in a softball tournament at the end of the season and had just won our league and won the championships and all this stuff. And my brother-in-law brought my motorcycle back, and he parked it on the street, and it was cold. And it was in October. I mean, it was cold part of the year. And, you know, I went out to start it and put it in the garage. Well, it was kind of a cold-natured motorcycle, and I got it started. And Mark came down, and he was just a little boy, my son, at that point. Now he's a big, strapping young man, you know, and all that. But he was just a little boy then. And he said, Dad, can I ride up the street with you? Because he knew I was going to ride it down the street and come back up and then drive up in the driveway and put it in the garage. And I said, sure. And he jumps on the back. Well, I started down the street. And I was kind of coasting more or less, just giving a little bit of gas. And I started up the street, and I didn't have the choke on it, you know. And I started up the street, and it bogged. And I started to give it gas, and it kind of lunged forward. And when it lunged forward, he grabbed me real tight and jerked because he wasn't holding on. It scared him. And when he did that, he pulled me backwards a little bit because I was sitting kind of loose. And I ended up cracking the throttle all the way open when it happened. So I do this big wheel stand, which I wasn't trying to do. And I was totally unprepared for this. And it fell over and landed on my ankle and gave me a compound fracture on my ankle. So here I got a broken ankle, and you know, and they pick it up off of me. And Mark wasn't hurt. Thank God. I was so glad of that. You know, little boy, he wasn't hurt. But I couldn't work. The doctor told me, he says, you got a compound fracture. He said, you can't stand on it at all. And at that time, I worked in a machine shop. And you had to stand on your feet for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, depending on how many hours you were working. Well, I couldn't work. And he told me I had to be off for, I think it was like 6 or 8 weeks, you know, till it healed up. And I was thinking, oh, man, what are we going to do, you know? And then I thought, well, I'm just going to trust you, Lord. And we didn't have no money in the bank. And we had this mutual aid society at work where we used to contribute money to this. And it was like for a sickness and accident thing. And this had been quite a few years ago, and they were supposed to give you $60 a week if you got sick, you know, which back then that would have been okay. I was making about 80 bucks a week back then, you know. But here we are, and, you know, so I contact the Mutual Aid Society, and I tell them, I say, you know, hey, I've been hurt, you know, I need to start getting, you know, some sickness and accident money. Well, they went and checked on it, and the guy who was handling it had run off with the money. There was no money there. None. So all of a sudden, that dried up. Well, I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And I was a Christian at that time, but I told the Lord, I said, I'm just going to trust you. And Margaret, my wife, she had been working with her friend of hers, Barb, they'd been doing some house cleaning and once in a while some painting or some wallpapering for people. And they'd only do that every so often. They weren't working all the time. Well, all of a sudden, Barb started getting jobs all the time. And Margaret went out every day and worked with her every day. And, you know, I just want to tell you, I never had to ask anybody for anything. But it was just enough money to cover everything. My landlords, who I was renting the house from, came down. And back then, I was paying, and you, this will date me too, renting the house, I was paying $135 a month to rent a house, you know. Well, you know, nowadays, that won't rent you a room, hardly. But I was renting a house for that. Well, you know what? All of a sudden, when they came down and they came in the house, they were going to raise my rent to $155 or something like that, you know. And when they come in and saw me laid up on the couch with my broken ankle and stuff, they didn't raise my rent. You know, I found out later on that they was planning on raising my rent, and they didn't raise it. Matter of fact, they didn't raise it all the rest of the time while I lived there. So that was how God was blessing me. But because we were making it okay, but we were just making it with the kind of money I was making back then. Well, Margaret worked, and she was able to take care of everything. And I had that motorcycle, and I didn't have it paid for, you know. So I'm thinking, how am I going to make that motorcycle payment, you know? And we called and checked on it, and they said, oh, you got insurance on that that'll pay your payment. Well, I didn't even know I had that. I didn't even remember doing that, but I had it, you know. So it just went to show me how God had everything in line, and it all worked out. And, you know, that seemed to be bad. That was like that little story I told about good and bad before. It seemed to be bad that I broke my ankle. But I want to tell you what, in that 6 or 8 weeks that I laid up, I got closer to the Lord than I had been in years. And I had pulled a little bit away from the Lord at that time, you know, before that happened. I was letting other things, you know, pull me off into playing softball on weekends and different things sometimes instead of going to church and all that. And then that made me determine that I was going to make sure that I got back into church and quit goofing off and wasting my time doing a lot of things that really weren't very important. And there's nothing wrong with sports or anything like that. But if it becomes too excessive, then there is something wrong with it then, if you put it in front of God. And I'm going to tell you, I never felt so rested and so at peace after those 8 weeks was over, 6 or 8 weeks was over with, than I did after that, because I needed that, because I had gotten to the point where I had actually prayed before I had that wreck one night, and I'd prayed and I'd said, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can keep going on like this, because I was working tons of hours and I just seemed like I was just worn totally out and everything else. And you know what? God knew all that, and he fixed it to where I got 8 weeks of rest, and we never missed a beat. We were never late on any payments. Everything was taken care of. And I could tell you story after story after story how God always has met us. But it's because I trusted in him and because I put my trust. And I'm going to tell you what, if you aren't trusting him today, I feel sorry for you, because you're walking through a minefield if you're not trusting him. But if you're trusting him, I'm going to tell you what, he has promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, and he will meet you on every turn.
Well, Oscar, the story is very interesting, because it just goes to show you exhausted all the things that you knew what to do.
That's right.
All the places you thought that you
had
to go.
That's right.
To meet what your needs were.
Right.
But when you went back and gave it to the Lord, that's where it was all met.
That's right.
Not the guy, not the mutual aid guy, not the,
right.
You know, that's where your
that's
need
right.
was met.
That's right.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
You know? And it's what I said before, when I read that little footnote about concern. You can be concerned.
Right.
But what concern does is it lets you look at the source of what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking today about, you know, don't worry, because the Lord's going to meet your needs. And, you know, I've been concerned. I've been really tired because I took this part-time job this year.
Yeah.
It turned into a full-time job.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of the college kids going back to school.
Right.
But, you know, I've been worn down from it. But, you know, the thing is I've actually gotten a lot of rest from it, too.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of time where I've just been quiet, where I would have been doing something else.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's like you said, I believe I've gotten closer to the Lord.
That's right. I've,
you know, on the way to work, you know, being tired some days, I'm just praying all the way to work.
Amen.
You know, Lord, what you want me to do today, and help me to get through this day, and give me the wisdom to know what your will is and how I can carry it out.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, it has given me the sense of, wow, you know, once I give that control over to him,
right,
I don't have to think about it.
No.
That's the thing that is the most eye-opening thing to me. Once you give it over to the Lord,
yeah,
you don't have to think about it, because now he's got control.
Right.
He's already got it.
Right.
But you don't have to struggle with it.
That's right.
And that way and that's when your needs are getting met the most. You know, you need your spiritual needs way before you need the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because all of it goes together, but your spiritual need is what gives you peace in your life.
That's right.
Not, you know, that you got a big bank account or, you know, all the other stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scripture says, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, he's interested in our soul prospering. And the only way that our soul really prospers is when it's in union with him. That's where the prosperity comes from. You know, he's the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one that owns everything, all situations and all circumstances. He's God. He's God in all things, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, he can, if you go, it's like if you go out for an interview on a job, you know. I'm going to tell you, he can give you favor with the person that's interviewing you, and they won't even know why they hired you. There might be someone else come in there that's more qualified than you. But he can give you favor with that person to where they will hire you. You know, years ago, and here's another little story. I mean, I could tell you tons of stories. But here's another little story. Years ago, not too long after I first gave my life to the Lord, you know, this was after the Vietnam War was ending. That kind of dates me, too. And you're about that same age, Mike. Yeah. When the Vietnam War was ending, you know, I worked in a machine shop, and all of the bottom dropped out of machine tool business, and you couldn't hardly find a job in a machine shop. Well, I got laid off, and I had two little kids at home, and I was the only source of income that we had then. And, you know, I kept going to the unemployment office, and they was giving me $60 a week, I think it was, somewhere around $60 a week. Well, you can't go very far on $60 a week, you know. And anyway, I kept going to the unemployment office, and I'd say, "Don't you have anything, you know that I can do, you know, any jobs or anything?" And they said, "Well, you're too qualified for some of these jobs," and they wouldn't send me out to these places because sometimes they'd say, "You're too qualified, you know, for this kind of job or that kind of job, what was available." Well, anyway, I went on this one job interview. And this job paid less than unemployment. But I felt guilty about laying at home not working, you know, because I felt like I wasn't supporting my family. So I took that job that paid less than unemployment, and I went to work. And I worked there for, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, you know. And then I had an opportunity. My brother called me, and he said, "This one particular company has an ad in the paper," and he says, "They're looking for somebody that has the skill that you have, the skill set that you have." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, I'll go up and put in an application." And I went up there, and I talked to this guy, and I had a New Testament in my pocket. And he saw the New Testament, and he says, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I teach Sunday school at my church." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." Now, I'm thinking, well, you know, he's a Christian, so that might be a good thing here. And he says, "Well, I'm going to tell you," he says, "you're the most qualified person that's come in here so far." And he says, "But I'll tell you this," and this kind of shocked me. He said, you can have the job, but if you're not doing what's right, I'll be on you at both feet." And I thought, is this the way Christians talk to other Christians? And I thought, geez, I don't know if I want to work for this guy or not. You know, I was kind of shocked. But you know what? I'm going to tell you how God works. I went back to that place that I worked for, and I hadn't went and took a physical for this other company or anything yet. And I went back to where I was working, and I told them, I gave them notice. I gave them 2 weeks notice because I said, I won't just up and quit on them. I'm going to give them 2 weeks notice. And I went home, and my wife told me, she says, "Some guy called you named Ray Haas on the phone, and he wanted to know if you still needed a job." And I said, "Well, I don't know no Ray Haas." And he said, "Well, I told him that you were working and that, you know, he'd have to call you back." Well, he called me back later that night. Now, this is how God works. I had driven past that place numerous times and never went in there and put in an application because all of the other factories down through there, when I went in there, they told me, "Well, we've got people laid off with 25 and 30 years experience. We're not hiring anybody." And for some reason, I drove past that place. And when I, she probably did. And when I did, I never went in there. But this was that Ray Haas that called me at that company. He had gotten my name from somebody. And he told me, he says, before you take that other job, come down and talk to me. Because I told him, I said, I've been offered another job. I just haven't went and took the physical or anything yet. And I went down and talked to him. And here's what it was. I would have been the only person in that company that could do what they wanted me to do. They didn't have anybody else that could do it. I would have had what would have been super seniority. The shop was air conditioned. I would have had my own parking space. It just got better and better as it went on over that other job, you know, that I had went and put in an application at. And I didn't have an application in there. And within 1 year's time of working there, I moved up and was making the top pay on in that whole division there in what I did. And I worked there for 18 years, never, ever got laid off. We worked overtime almost all of the time. Now, which job was better, the job that I went and applied for or the job that God sent me? I'd say the job that God sent me, even though the other guy was a Christian. And I'll tell you this, that company where I had put in the application, 3 years later, they were out of business. They had closed up. So if I'd have took that job 3 years later, I'd have been out of work. I worked at that other company for 18 years until I went in business with my brother and started working with my brother. But I worked there for 18 years and moved up into supervision and everything else. And so a lot of times, if we'll just trust in the Lord, and when he opens up opportunities for us, we won't tell ourselves, well, I could have told myself, well, I've already got a job, so I'm not going to even go talk to this guy, you know. And I thought, well, I should probably go talk to him. He said, come down and talk to me. And I went down and talked to him, and he told me, he says, this job that you're going to be doing, you're the only one in the company that does this job. He says, as long as we have any work at all, you're going to have a job. And he told me, he says, you don't ever have to worry about being laid off or anything like that. He said, because you won't be as long as this company's in business, you know. And I worked there for 18 years. And I moved up even into other jobs, and I moved up into supervision, and I was over that whole steel department there. But see, God, if you'll trust him, he's got a better plan than your plan.
Amen to that.
If you'll just trust his plan, his plan's better than yours, you know. And a lot of times we sometimes try to jump out and grab the bull by the horns. And to be honest with you, God's got a bigger bull somewhere else. And he's already got the horns, you know. Praise
the
Lord.
Well, it's 12:58. I keep looking at this thing and they never change it. And you've been listening to Kingdom Building on 88.3 Cincinnati. And just a reminder that we are in the midst of our Memberthon for the fall. And we need your help to stay on the air. Your $25 gift gives you membership and voting rights at the annual meeting and the newsletter. And you can make a donation by calling 513-961-8900 or 513-749-1444 or go online to www.waif883.org and go to the donation button, and they'll kind of guide you through it.
Amen.
And if you want to support Kingdom Building, make sure you keynote that on your donation. And, you know, this has been, I think, a timely topic for today. Not worrying and let the Lord take you by the hand.
Be your source. He's your source.
He's your source. And don't forget that, because it's okay to be concerned, but don't let the worry overcome you.
That's right.
And
amen.
So we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Sorry.